Ivan, who?
I want to suck your blood.
That's very bad. That's very good. That's excellent.
I thought we would start with a knock knock joke instead.
I like it.
Just to like, what, new season, new us.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to tell increasingly bad knock knock jokes for the entire. Yeah.
Also to announce your fucking comedy tour.
Oh yeah, my comedy tour, telling knock knock jokes.
Telling knock knock jokes like that. That's just actually, taste, folks.
My comedy tour is going to be me reading this book that's on Amazon of like 50 vampire knock knock jokes for kids.
I love that, actually.
Thank you.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
Thanks. My name is Kate. My pronouns are she, her, or they, them, and I live in South Philadelphia. And I'm joined by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Leslie, and this is Thanks for the Memories.
We forgot
to say the actual name of the
show. Oh, yeah, because I usually say welcome to Fangs for... You know what I should have done is, like, knock, knock, who's there?
Fangs.
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 Yeah, Fangs for the Memories.
You have a second joke for your tour.
Oh my god, that's for next week.
Yeah,
pretend
that's for your show in Cincinnati.
Ooh.
Yeah, my name is Leslie. They, them are my pronouns, and South Philadelphia is my current location. Yeah.
Still,
my coordinates
still...
are. I don't know.
Yeah, Leslie's on the top bunk. I'm on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we record from. And we have a guest. Would you love to introduce yourself?
Would you just love
to? Love it?
Hi, this is May, you can run away now, Schultz, and I am so excited to be here. Sorry, I don't know if y'all have listened to me on other podcasts yet, but I always like choose a quote from the thing I'm covering as my nickname.
Amazing. I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
And since we'll do plugs at the end, but end at the beginning. So what are your other podcasts that people can listen to you?
I'm a co-host and the editor of The Lady Killers, a feminine rage podcast. I edit a bunch of other podcasts, and I'm on several upcoming episodes of Slayer Fest 98 for their coverage of The Magicians.
Woo! Ooh. Awesome. Yay! We love that. We love them.
Yeah, they're great. I was telling Leslie before we started recording that I discovered y'all because of them, because I heard an episode that Leslie was on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yay!
Yeah. That's correct. And I use she, her pronouns.
Okay.
There you go.
Sweet.
Radical.
Absolutely. So, since May, you are our new on Fangs for the Memories, but not new to Buffy at all. We'd love to hear your, like, Buffy origin story.
I am a rare bird. Oh, I think I worded this the same way on my first Slayer Fest episode. God. I watched Buffy from the beginning. I was a fan of the movie. I knew the show was going to be coming out. And so I watched it as it aired from day one until the last day. And, amazing. You know, I was there for every up and down, every bit of heartbreak. And then... excuse me. The show ended when I was in high school, and then when I was 19, I bought myself the Chosen Collection DVD box set for my birthday. And I was like really, really sick around my birthday, and I literally watched all 7 seasons in a week and a half on DVD.
That is
extreme.
A lot.
Oh, I know. but wait, there's more.
Okay.
Since then, I have watched the show an additional 11 times for a total of 13 times through.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, at 14, it'll be like two times the amount of seasons.
Exactly. And I also just recently got a big old Buffy tattoo on my shin, finally, that my friend slash artist Vanessa did for me, which is great because she also loves Buffy. And yeah, you could say I'm a bit of a fan.
Just a tiny bit. Yeah, just like a casual.
A little bit.
Yeah, we get it. You have, I think I've watched it like 6 times through. But yeah, I didn't watch it when it was on at all. I think I was in like a weird spot where I thought I was like too old for it or something. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Wait, how old were you when it started?
No, how old was I? See, now I have to do math.
Sorry. It started in 97. So.
Yeah, so I was like 17 or something.
Okay.
I'm an old.
You're only a few years older than me.
Okay. But so yeah, like that's like one of those weird, you know, it's like that weird period of being a teen where you're like, oh, I only watch French films from the 50s, you know, like you had that going on.
My local video store had a Criterion collection wall, and you can bet your ass I rented so many of those movies.
Yeah.
I watched fucking Playtime by Jacques Tati when I was like 16.
Incredible. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
I was that kid.
Yeah, same. I was also like, my mom was really into the library, so like we rented videos from the library all the time. Nice. And so I just like watched whatever crazy shit that they had like amassed. And a lot of it was just like weird old movies that like no one's ever heard of. And yeah. And then like didn't watch a lot of like pop culture stuff. So that kid. Really nice. Popular. So popular. Everybody loves me.
Hey, I would have been your friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Leslie, how many times have you watched Buffy through?
Not nearly as many as you. I think this is going to be my third or fourth.
Still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big commitment. Seven seasons, most of which are 22 episodes.
Yeah, and 45 minutes each, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so much, like, yeah, so many ups and downs, like you said.
Yeah, like, I feel like, and also I've got, like, holes in my brain the size of, like, a colander. So, like, you know, stuff like, I'm still surprised by stuff, even though it's like, oh, yeah, I've obviously seen this happen to Buffy or to Spike or whatever. And so it's like, but then I watch it again, I'm like, oh, shit, Joel Grey's in this episode. It's like, I fucking knew Joel Grey was in this episode. Like, come on. Ugh.
Yeah, Doc is such a good character.
Yeah. Yeah. Leslie is in love with Doc.
Can we just drop that? I wish I had never told you that.
Oh my god, I cannot wait to get to that episode.
I never told you that. I told you that in confidence, Kate. I told you that in confidence while we were recording a public forum.
Yeah, yeah, twice on a public podcast.
We reached the ends of listeners.
The end of season 5 was very sad for Leslie, not because Buffy died, but because Doc did.
He just did such a whimpering swan dive off of that scaffold.
He really did.
I do kind of love that death for that character, though, that you think all of a sudden, like, oh, he's going to be this very formidable adversary, and Buffy's just like, woo!
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's kind of a Joss staple sometimes. That's the, yeah, you know, he's done that in Firefly too, like where this like big hulking bad comes in, and then it's the Indiana Jones thing. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, how many times can I shove this into my product? I'm Joss Whedon.
I guess we can. I can't wait to read the wiki because it's really funny.
Do you want to do the wiki summaries for both 1 and 2, and then we'll just
talk that's why it's funny. That's why it's funny. Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I guess maybe only to me, but we're in season 6, baby, episode Woo-hoo. 1 and 2, bargaining part 1, bargaining part 2. So the the wiki entry for part one is Buffy's friends try to cope with Buffy's death and are left to defend Sunnydale without her. Meanwhile, a gang of marauding demons threaten to jeopardize their plan to bring the Slayer back from the dead. To complicate matters, Giles contemplates leaving Sunnydale to come to terms with the loss. And then bargaining part two, second part of the season premiere. That's why it's funny. They never do that.
I'm reading the synopsis here and it says, still reeling from their seemingly unsuccessful resurrection spell, the Scooby Gang attempt to protect Sunnydale from a band of marauding demons. Meanwhile, Buffy rises from the grave. Spoilers. But is she the same as she was before?
Why do I have a different wiki?
I'm on buffy.fandom.com.
Same.
I don't know what to tell you.
Well, did they write two different ones?
One is this like a Berenstain Bears situation?
It might be. This is Shazam. It's like we.
Oh no!
Believe.
All right, I did not come on this podcast for Kazam discourse. I'm sorry.
I know, you're like, I'm not prepared.
Yeah, I didn't study up on my Sinbad lore.
I'm also interested. Well, so it's kind of interesting. One is written by Marty Noxon, one's written by David Fury, which is weird.
Yeah.
Did Marty write the first part?
She did. Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Because part one is fun and part two is not fun.
Is that deeply depressing?
Yeah.
It's like the Terminator.
Yeah.
And then they were both aired on the same day. So it was special 2 hour Buffy special night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's because it was the when they moved over to UPN.
Right.
And UPN was using that as like a big selling point. Like, hey, this is still event television, even though it's on a new network. We're giving you a double dose of Buffy. Mm-hmm. Strap in, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is like, I know, there's so much newness. So it's like, this is the first two episodes of Buffy on a new network. And it's just like a major shift in tone. Season six is like, is a season that a lot of people like. This is when a lot of people start hating Buffy.
And I like, for those people, I say get fucked, because I love this season.
You don't get it, you know?
Yeah, you're just not deep enough.
Yeah, normally I'm like very permissive when people like don't like shit I like. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's everybody's taste, blah blah blah. If you don't like season six of Buffy, fuck you.
Exactly. Honestly, I feel the same way about people who are like, I just listened to an episode the other day where y'all were talking about like, why would you skip season one? It's short. Like, if you're gonna watch Buffy, just watch Buffy.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, I feel the same way, but also season one is fun. It's campy. It's goofy. 100%. It's very much like coming from the framework of B movies and turning those into fun serialized television.
Yeah, just and like fun.
Yeah, is it lit by a 40-watt light bulb? Yeah, it's a little hard to see things, but when you can see them, they're very enjoyable.
Yeah,
yeah. Was the CGI coded on a Tandy 8000? Yes, it was. But that's what makes it special.
It's true. Yeah, and like we've talked about this so many times that like, yeah, Buffy hit some real high highs and some real low lows, and like season six is a dark, sad season where the characters are like coping with some deep dark shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, season six is the PTSD season.
Yeah,
it's the like humans are the bad guys season.
Yeah, are we the baddies? Yeah. Yes,
right. 100%. It also has so many great moments of fun and humor and, like, I don't know, I think it's relatively balanced until the very end of the season when it's just like
grimdark.
Yeah, grimdark, despair and depression.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into it.
Let's get depressed.
Yeah, let's do it. So, I mean, the first thing I noticed that was actually really interesting is the in the opening credits, the like end image where it's always like Buffy looking like a badass is actually the Buffy bot.
Mm-hmm. And that sticks around.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I just like, I thought that was really interesting because this is like a whole, like these two episodes are so much about like life and death and who is Buffy, like who is Buffy really? Like they're, you know, they're like living with the Buffy bot as if she's Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
Because.
But she has awareness that she's not Buffy.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's this very interesting conundrum where she's like, I'm other Buffy.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. Josh and White Josh on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah, her level of like consciousness is kind of terrifying. Yeah. And like Sarah Michelle Gellar does such a good job because you're like, you see, the whole time I'm like, oh, this other character. And it's like, she's playing her.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, I, honestly, like one of my notes from the cold open is just Buffy Bot is so funny. She's so funny.
Yeah. It's really interesting to watch Sarah Michelle Gellar be like different enough, but not push it too much where it's like obvious or like tacky or like uncanny valley. It's like just in that weird sweet spot. It's like where we know this is not Buffy Buffy. Hey there, suckers. It's Leslie. You know, back in my day, I worked at an adult shop in college, so I know a thing or two about fine adult toys, and that's why I really like bunnyshop.com. It's not your average adult store. You know, think of it as your very own adult shop, thoughtfully curated by your fashionable best friend. They take their selection seriously, they handpick each item for their aesthetics, safety, and top-notch quality. Bunny Shop is a modern love shop dedicated to elevating your most intimate moments. And here's the best part, you get to shop online in the comfort of your own home. And if you know me and you know how much I don't like talking to people, you know how much I love that. You're only browsing the best and cutest products out there. Plus, they ship quickly and discreetly, ensuring your little secret stays safe. So no matter where you are in your journey, whether you're a BDSM pro or completely new to the world of sex toys, Bunny Shop has got you covered. Their thoughtfully selected range includes toys, accessories, and wellness products to suit every desire and preference. And you know we love accessibility and inclusivity on the pod. So let go of any shyness and embrace your self-love journey with confidence. Save 20% off your order today when you use code FANGS. That's F-A-N-G-S, all uppercase. So visit bunnyshop.com, BUNNYSHOPPE.com.
Yeah. For yeah, sure. And I mean, that'll put some marzipan in your pie plate, bingo. It's just, I mean, it's iconic. It is iconic.
That is iconic Buffy line.
It's so good.
I love how Willow says, like, I was just adding stuff in and then I got word salad and I was like, that's what AI is doing fucking right now in the year of our Lord 2024. Like, Willow made AI happen.
She did. It's also like there's like some Westworld stuff going on in here too.
Yeah, 100%.
I also love Giles going, I'm fine, I just need to die for a minute.
Like, we've all had
that's me after walking up a single flight of stairs. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean the Scoobies are doing, like, I feel like, you know, this season opens like a lot of seasons where it's like you know, graveyard, big fight.
Yeah.
But always, like, with a twist, you know? Because now it's, like, the Scoobies have to do everything. Willow has become this, like, you know, uber witch. And
like a weird point person, like who's the lady in the computer room on Criminal Minds?
Oh yeah,
Penelope Garcia.
Yes, thank you. Like, you know,
Willow
like,
doesn't have enough like everybody. Funny pens. She needs more funny pens.
She doesn't have enough troll dolls.
Yeah, little troll dolls and like those little things that you would get. Do you remember getting like they were? I think they were just, like, pom-poms with, like, googly eyes on them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That yeah, you they would were just adorable. Get, you would get them if you, like, sold a few Girl Scout cookies or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and they had the ones with the little sticky feet on the
yes,
bottom.
Yes, so those! Yes!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I loved those things. Yeah. I would just always call them poof balls.
Okay, yeah.
Love
I
that.
Think I bet Penelope Garcia has a lot of those.
Oh, for
don't
sure.
Don't you think? Don't you think?
100%.
Like one for every day of the week or something.
Yeah. She like names them.
I do really love that right at the beginning of the season, they're setting us up to see like, oh, Willow's power has grown a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's essentially the panopticon here. You know, she's standing up on something, really? Looking around at everything and speaking directly into people's minds. I love Anya going, it's kind of intrusive. You could knock first.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, immediately having not a very ethical approach to magic. Like you can see at this point that like, she's super powerful and is like sort of not following all of the like rules that she and Tara established at one point, you know,
right.
Like she's already crossing lines.
Yeah. And that means we're also crossing over into magic is no longer a metaphor for gay. Magic is a metaphor for drugs.
Oh God. I hate that. I hate this part. Yeah. This is not a favorite.
It starts to get really messy and it's frustrating because it's like, so first being a slayer was a metaphor for gay. And now being a witch is a metaphor for being gay. Although that was always kind of there too. And then, yeah, switching it over so it's witch's metaphor for drugs, it just, I don't know, it felt very clunky. And it still feels clunky to me every time I watch the show.
Yeah. And, like, moralizing in a way that, like, is absolutely not necessary.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And, like, if it starts out as gay, you're like, gay, good, this is fine, this is good. Drugs, bad. Wait, I'm confused.
Yeah. What's the message that you're supposed to be sending to me here? You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, some drugs are good.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, I don't know. I've never done a drug. I've never done a weed.
Not even a weed. One weed.
Not a single weed.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. You don't smoke dandelions?
I told you the story. Did I tell the story about the Easter Bunny?
No.
I was in college and we didn't have, I think somebody's like pipe broke or something. And so we had a leftover, this was like in May, and we had like a leftover like hollowed out chocolate Easter Bunny.
Oh my God, so did you use it as a bong?
It didn't melt?
We put it was kind of like a hookah. We bit the ears off the top and then put tin foil and then like drilled a hole, I think, in its nose and smoked out of that.
Amazing.
That was the most delicious weed.
I love I've a bong done. That you can eat or a hookah that you can eat.
Yeah.
At the end.
And then the police come and it's like, where's
Willy
the evidence?
Wonka.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's the evidence? You have chocolate all over your face like a 5-year-old child.
Like fucking Augustus Gloop, just smeared with creamy chocolate.
That's the version of the Willy Wonka story I want to see.
Hell yeah, for real.
Well, that's the one that they were showing the kids in the fucked up version over in Scotland, in Glasgow. And that's why the police came and shut
that's
it down.
That's what happened. They were like, here, kids, come here.
Cool
Get behind this curtain. That's where the unknown came in.
That's what the unknown,
the unknown is a drug dealer.
I can't believe they're making a movie based on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's like really just like going too far with a bit.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
It's like funny. Like, no. It's like, you know, when you're on Twitter and everyone's making a joke and then like Hillary Clinton uses the meme to like
yeah,
make a
or
joke.
Like fucking Adidas.
Yeah, and you're like, nope, mm-hmm. done, goodbye.
Yeah, great. Pack it in.
Yeah, you can't monetize this shit. It's just like for the people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So then Buffy, this is why I think this was part of the knock knock joke, but I don't remember. Somebody, so Tara says the only really real Buffy is really Buffy. And Giles says, and she's gone. And Buffy says, if we want her to be exactly, she'll never be exactly. I know the only really, really, really real Buffy is really Buffy, and she's gone. Who?
Yeah.
It's so good. And her delivery on that is flawless.
Yeah.
Right. Because they set it up to where, you know, Sarah Michelle Gellar's like, oh, who's there? And then they have a full conversation.
Right.
And at the end is like the punchline. It's like that, like it's just long enough where you forget that this is sort of, that was sort of set up. So it's like a perfect little like nugget of like, oh yes, okay, I see. Just like,
also, it's so good. Like it's so silly, but it's also like really good foreshadowing of like,
right, exactly.
Who's coming back? Who is the really real Buffy? Like, is the Buffy that's coming back the real Buffy? And is she gonna be okay? Where did she come from?
Dude, can we talk about that?
Should we talk about it already?
I mean.
We can talk about things. Yeah. I mean, we always talk about.
Well, okay, no, there are a couple things that I want to talk about first before we talk about Buffy coming back.
Okay.
First of all, the vampire is wearing a Hansen shirt. Oh, I think that's fucking hysterical.
I wrote down foiled by a vamp in a Hansen shirt.
Yeah, just...
like of all of the vampires,
it's so funny because like they're relevant, culturally relevant now. So you could wear that shirt and get away with it. Like, it's fucking crazy.
It's true.
Wait, also, are Hanson is culturally relevant now?
Yes, they just
they
like, put out
back.
A new album. They like oh have their own god. Like they have their own beer called Hops.
Stop.
Oh my god, are you fucking kidding me?
I've drunk it before and it's fucking incredible. It's a very good beer.
Is it
like,
an
yeah,
IPA?
They went on tour and shit. Like I don't remember, but. Yeah, absolutely they are.
Okay. I mean, I was thinking that someone could wear that as like a funny throwback, but I
like,
didn't realize
ironic,
that
no.
They are, you know, making beers
still,
and
yeah,
going on tour.
Still rocking out. And then the biker demons are a very cool look. Like
yeah.
They look like weird, almost like the Who's down in Whoville, except like rugged and leather daddies.
The part where the one, like, I don't know, lieutenant, I don't know, rankings, sees
yeah.
the Buffy bot and he like calls out, he shrieks and he looks like Bat Boy from like, National Enquirer.
From Bat Boy.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a very cool, and like they have like leather straps like embedded in their face.
I love that.
Like
part.
I loved that. Yeah. That's cool.
It's
look.
It's very Cenobite-y.
Yes, it is.
Uh huh. Yep.
I do not like their plot, but I very much like the look of them.
They just want to be little stinkers.
I mean, until we, I'll bring it up when we get to part two, but like, I have a line in my notes that I'm just like, oh, yeah. that.
I also just like, don't, I think that there was like enough that could have been explored with the Scoobies and grief and like the spell.
Giles
that like,
Giles
they didn't,
leaving.
Yeah, they didn't really need to add in like an extra element of bad.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I feel like they've done this in past season openers too. I want to say season 4, you know, had this where it's like, or like the Dracula episode where it's like, we get it. Like, but you know, again, like you said, they're moving to a new network. Like, they're getting new watchers, like audience members.
Watchers.
Right. So I feel like you kind of have to have that classic Monster of the Week bit to kind of lure people in and like let them know, like, this is what Buffy has been about, but also we're dealing with all of this other shit too.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying.
I don't agree with it. I think it's cluttered. Yeah. Like, I agree with you, Kate. I think they did, like, I think narratively it would have been better to not have that at all because it really wasn't driving the plot, you know?
Right.
But it's just a little, I mean, they you know, they have to have a fight scene. They have to get people excited about, you know, the show coming back, so.
Yeah.
There has to be an imminent danger.
Yeah, exactly.
That is in direct conflict with them doing this spell. And I think that's where it comes in. I don't know. I felt like they could have done something a little bit smaller that could have fucked up the spell rather than this big gang of biker demons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the spell, I mean, like, I just wanted a lot of space for this, like, you know, there's like the really beautiful, like, kind of the craft-esque scene where Willow.
Oh, the deer scene?
Yeah.
Oh,
calls, can we talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful and also like a pretty intense scene for Buffy.
Yeah, I'll say.
And Tara's wearing like a white slip dress. I mean, not Tara, Willow.
Willow, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and also, I don't know if you noticed, but when she shows up at the magic box, she's wearing a different outfit. Which
means, and it's red.
She was covered in blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, needed to take a shower.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, couple things. So, on the IMDb user reviews, somebody gave this episode, Bargaining Part 1, a 2 out of 10.
Jesus.
A 2 out of 10. This review was penned and published on August 2nd of 2023.
Wow.
So this was less than a year ago.
Okay.
And this person said, the episode was pretty good, entertaining, intriguing, and gripping. But how do you shoot a scene where you can brutally kill a deer, even if it's just for the sake of acting? Whoever writes a script like this most likely hates animals. And it's surprising that no one objected to it. Other than that, it shouldn't be this easy to understand the Slayer is a robot.
The magic of filmmaking.
I've run into a couple reviewers on Letterboxd who have like vegan alert in their reviews where it tells you like all of the things that happen in a movie that,
that dog
aren't
die
in line with. Well, yeah, except it's like people consume cheese or stuff like that. And it's just like, okay, if you are vegan and that is your choice, that is totally fine. Why are you making that part of your review for a movie?
Like, it's a broader problem of, I'm going to say, dumb people who can't, like, comprehend that, like, if you write something bad or negative, it doesn't mean that you want that to happen to in real life. Like,
right. It's not an endorsement. It's storytelling.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck? Like, I want someone to do like a scientific study on this because I'm so fascinated by how fucking brain dead these people are who are like, this happened to a video game that came out called Boyfriend Dungeon. Came out a couple years ago and it was voice acted and there was a very problematic character who was voice acted by this guy. And that actor received death threats for weeks because of his animated fake video game character who was a creep and a toxic person within the narrative of the game. Like, it made sense for him to be this way because it was part of the fucking plot.
So it's like people who cannot separate reality from fiction.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, this isn't a case of separating art from artist. This is,
it is
like
literally
what
a case
we do
of, like,
with Joss and Buffy.
Yeah. If I see images moving in front of my orbitals,
it's real.
It's really happening to me. Like,
right.
I'm baffled and fascinated by
it. Is a very, there seems to, there's a lot of problems with like critical flattening of like TV and movies. I feel like it's just, you see it on Twitter like literally every day, you know. Yeah. Someone being like, yeah,
all the time,
I can't, how is this a feminist movie, this woman had a hard day or whatever. Exactly, you know, like
somebody on Tumblr was like, Neil Gaiman, your characters made me sad, and like, you know, you shouldn't write stuff that makes people sad. And it's like, you're gonna talk to Neil fucking Gaiman about,
and he's
that.
Like, oh, okay, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just gonna take my millions of dollars and go home.
Yeah.
Oy vey.
Well, so anyway. And like, you know, point being that like, I feel like this scene with Willow killing a deer is just sort of like the beginning. It's another nod to Willow
making, you know, that turn.
Making a turn towards Dark Willow and not like not thinking, you know, like she is so filled with grief for her best friend that she's like, I will do fucking anything to get this person back.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and like, I know we don't get the line until later in the season, mm-hmm. but like, it's so arrogant of her. It is so arrogant of her to just be like, you know, Buffy's probably in hell. We've got to save her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think that's like part of it. That's like part of the thing I don't love about adding in like the biker demons too, is like, that could have been the element of research that they were working on. Like, how did they know that? How are they so convinced that that's where Buffy is? I mean, it's where Angel was, but like, Angel,
but Angel's whole physical being was in a hell dimension. We've established that there are multiple different types of dimensions.
So many.
You know, there's a world without shrimp, a world that's all shrimp. there are multiple dimensions, which means there are multiple hell dimensions. Because, you know, the one at the beginning of season three with Ken, the creepy street preacher guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Know,
that's industrial hell where time moves faster. And, oh my God, listening to y'all try to suss that out with the time differential.
Oh my God, my brain
was making
broke.
Me laugh so, confusing. So hard.
That was like that was like me the night of Daylight Savings. I was having such a hard time.
So like, wait, am I springing forward or is my clock springing forward?
Yeah, I mean, really, don't smoke a little bit of weed and start thinking about Daylight Savings time. Because that's what I did.
My friend Thea slept over on Saturday night, and we woke up in the morning and we were like, why does everything feel wrong?
Yeah, it's a weird, I literally, this is such a complete non sequitur, but I had to
be our show with that one.
I know. Okay, so I guess like basically what happens is like, it's one and then it's three. Like, two doesn't exist for your phone, for your iPhone. So,
oh yeah, 1:59 and then 3 o'clock.
I was falling asleep and I was like, what if I set my clock ahead now just so I didn't like have to worry about it? Because for some reason I was like, but if I set my alarm for 8 tomorrow, will it actually be, will like, the iPhone flip that forward an hour or two? And I couldn't figure it out. So I tried to move it to 2, but your phone won't let you. So it flipped to 3. And then I was like, oh my God, is it actually 3? So I changed, it gets even worse. I changed my clock to Phoenix time, being like, well, that's 2 hours before. And then I changed it back to Philly, and then it was 5. And then I had to text my friend who I knew was still up and be like, what time is it? Oh, no.
I'm crying. Oh my god. Oh man,
I went through a lot.
I think you just inadvertently figured out how to time travel.
I did.
just smoke a little bit of weed on daylight savings time night. Yeah. I always think of the episode of Erie, Indiana, where Mars gets stuck in the alternate reality because he refuses to change his watch for daylight savings time.
I've seen that show. I don't remember that episode though.
It should have been the finale, because the episode that actually comes after it is the one with the, like, the kid who listens to, you know, punk music, and his dad fucking hates him, and he's like, oh, there's backwards messages, and it turns out that it's just the dad saying horrible things that's backmasked. But some reason that's the last episode they aired, but the daylight savings time one should have been the final episode.
Leslie, what were you about to say?
I was gonna say, so Willow does that deer killer spell, and she says, she calls out three names in her, like, summoning ritual. She says the words Adonai, Halomi, Pine.
Okay.
And I was like, is that a language? Like, Pine sounds like it could be, like, a joke.
Pine.
Well, Adonai is the Hebrew god.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Adonai, Halomi, and Pine are all found in are all names for God found in a book called The Book of Ceremonial Magic by Arthur Edward Waite. And if that last name sounds familiar, it's because Arthur Edward Waite was the co-creator of the classic Rider-Waite tarot deck.
Whoa!
Oh. So he wrote a book about, like, black magic and packs and stuff, which is what the summoning ritual is referencing, so... Yeah.
That's cool, because usually I feel like we have talked about this so many times that, like, a lot of, like, spells, demon names, etc., are, like, Buffyverse only.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool that actually
they're pulling, like, from an actual reference. Yeah.
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 Unlike the Nigerian mask.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Or even in this fucking episode where Giles is holding, like, a wooden statue and Anya's like, the Ramadan effigy.
Right.
It's like, we know what that word means.
Yeah. Like, we know
what Ramadan is.
Oh, also, speaking of Giles and Anya, that little slap fight they have is the second best slap fight on the series, next to the slow motion one that Xander and Harmony have.
Oh God, I love that fight.
With the, like, dramatic fucking music. That is one of my favorite moments on the entire show. But yeah, this slap fight between Giles and Anya is so adorable, and it's like, it makes me wish that we got more of the two of them together, because they're so funny together.
Yeah, we've said it before, but, like, Anya x another character is always, like, when they're one-on-one, especially when they don't have a lot of time together, like, we've seen Anya and Willow, like, Anya and Tara, like, their pairing together is just magic. Like, she brings out, like, the goofiest parts of the other person's character.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, I just, you know, I know this is coming later in the season, so I won't say too much about it, but Xander's perpetual shame and embarrassment over Anya, who is literally just speaking her mind and being her authentic self at all times, is infuriating to me, because that's what my fucking marriage was. It was my ex-wife constantly, like, shooting me looks or telling me to stop saying something, even though I was just being my authentic self, because she was worried about being embarrassed. And so, yeah, I just fucking hate Xander a lot.
Yeah.
Especially
you come to the right place.
Especially in this season.
Yeah, and it just makes me like, what do you like about this person? Like, what,
like,
are you
so much
in
that
love
you,
with?
Yeah, are proposed to her.
Well, again, it's because Joss made Xander him.
Right.
And Joss wants a hot demon girlfriend who he has to, like, hold on a leash, because he has to teach her how to be a real human.
Right, and, like, who is worse... Like, who is a less, like, apt teacher for learning how to be a human than right? Xander. You know, like,
yeah.
I just can't. It's like, Anya might as well be taught by, like, a pack of wolves, you know? Like, I just...
I love that yes. Anya references buying the orb or whatever.
The urn.
Yeah. Yeah, and also mentions the Backstreet Boys lunchbox. And, of course, Xander gets embarrassed. And I just wrote down in my notes, haha, Backstreet Boys are so gay.
Right, yeah, like, because he could not...
Yeah, it's just more of that dumb gay panic that Xander always has, that it's like, do we really have to do that? Can you imagine if they had actually let Xander be openly bisexual, how much more enjoyable of a character he would have been?
What a fun show.
They did say, like, you know, early on they wanted to make either Willow or Xander queer in some way.
Right.
And so they thought, like, that's what the whole, like, weird fucking shit when he went, like, when he graduated.
Oh, with Larry.
Weird road trip. Yeah. So, like, that was going to be, like, his avenue into it. But then they went with, I guess, Willow because that's, like, hotter. I guess. Like,
yeah. Well, and I mean, I love that Willow's gay, but, like, she could have been gay and Xander also could have been.
I know.
No, you know? Well, no, not in 2000.
Yeah,
no.
In 2001, no, yeah, only one character
on the CW,
can be gay.
Absolutely. Yeah. You ain't getting that past like censors and shit.
Yeah.
Like, what? Two of them? Shut it down.
Willow could be bi and Xander could be bi. That would be cool.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, that's half of gay. So basically,
it
the two of them together make
gay.
One gay person.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so Willow's not a lesbian, she's bi.
Yeah.
And so we just got half, so can we make another character half gay too?
Well, and then you have people who say that, no, Willow is a lesbian, she just didn't know it, and she happened to fall in love with Oz, and it's like, okay, I mean, maybe, but also bisexual erasure.
Yeah, yeah, like, 100%. Why does it have to be like that? Why can't it be that she was in love with Oz? Just because of who, you know, he's a person
and
fell in love with him. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would be gay for Oz or straight for Oz.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would definitely be straight for Oz.
Oh my God, what if Xander, what if, like, the fight between Willow and Xander was, like, over Oz, but, like, not for the reasons that, like, happened.
I love that.
I love that, yeah.
And Oz was, like, so, like, they couldn't read his signs, so they're like, no, he's into me. No, he's into me. He gave me a Pez dispenser. Me too. Oh,
I mock you with my monkey pants. Sorry, I could quote so much of this show just, like, randomly. It's a problem.
It's not a problem.
Okay, I'm glad it's not a problem.
No.
Well, then,
especially on a Buffy podcast.
Okay, fair. Yeah. Well, then I'm going to throw out one of my favorite Anya quotes from the episode, which is, she's the descendant of a toaster oven.
Oh, I loved that.
That's good.
That was amazing. That. Well, I would love, yeah. So, like, speaking of the Buffy bot again, I find the new, like, living arrangement to be super interesting. Like,
oh yeah,
the family of Willow, Tara, Buffy bot, and Dawn, and they're all just, like, making do.
It's almost like a polycule living
together. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. Like a weird commune, like,
yeah,
like alternative families. Yeah,
yeah,
there you go.
I like it. I think it's adorable. And, like, Buffy Bot is in the kitchen trying to make sandwiches for everybody. Tara's making pancakes. People are swinging by. Like, it's like a West Philly
Xander
punk house.
And his tool.
Yeah, and of course, then Xander has to come in and be, like, awkwardly, like, cishet.
Yeah, I'm a man and I have a tool.
Yeah. And, like, no one else even has time to react where he's like, I mean, my toolbox. I mean, yeah.
I mean my dick. Oh, shit. Okay.
Basically, anytime I think of Xander, the first thing I think of is that weird, I can never tell if it's actually ADR, but it sounds weird. That line where he goes, "Nothing can defeat the penis."
Oh, God. What is that? When is that from? That.
I believe that's in season 3.
Okay.
It might be season 2. Hold on. I gotta look this up and find out whether or not I'm right.
Well, while that's going on, can we talk about Spike?
Sure.
Spike is such a good dad.
Yeah. Oh my God. So cute. Oh my God. It's in the Beer Bad episode. Season 4. It's Beer Bad.
Okay, I kind of remember that a little bit now.
Yep.
Okay.
But yes,
Spike is also part of this alternative family.
Yeah.
He is a really good dad.
And he's got that cute, messy hair.
Yeah, his hair is so fluffy right mm-hmm. now, which I feel like is like a sign. You know, like when Angel was bad, he would wear more clothes.
Yeah.
And like when he was good, his shirt would always be open. Mm-hmm. So Spike, it's like when he, now that he's like good, like mostly good and like behaving himself and being a dad, he has like puppy dog hair.
Aww.
Well, he has his hair that he originally had when he was alive back in like the 1800s. It was
floppy.
It's a little more like curly and foppish.
Yeah, bouncy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not like perfectly slicked back like when he's mm-hmm. a bad guy.
Mm.
I like those quick little like signs, like your hair is good, is like this way when you're good and this way when you're bad.
Yeah, right.
I find that very helpful.
Yeah,
it's like marker. Mr. Potato Head switched into his angry eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Little visual cues. Yeah, like we talked about this, like Willow is wearing white when she kills the deer, obviously gets covered in blood, changes, but into red. So you're like, okay, blood.
Oh, okay.
And then in the, when they do the spell.
Oh my God, I want that dress.
She is like witchy, witcherson. Like sexy witch, like black velvet dress. Yeah. So she's crossing over to Dark Willow.
Do we want to talk about Buffy?
Can we talk about Giles being sent off at the airport?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What's with the American Beauty music? Because it sounds like the score from American Beauty.
The disconnect is so... I don't know what they were trying to get me to feel in that moment, but they 100% missed the mark.
Yeah, it's very strange. But Tara with the finger monster going, "Grr, which I wonder how many people who watch the show just on streaming with autoplay even know what that is now.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because if you're watching it with autoplay, it starts playing the next episode before you get that end title card.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I know. We've lost the end title card art.
Yeah, and sometimes end title cards are fun. Like, you know, Fur House? That's them bad hat, Harry.
Yeah, or like a lot of Adult Swim shit has the guy going, yeah. Absolutely. Love that.
Yeah, end title cards are fun, and I'm sad that people are just like, I gotta skip the credits.
Yeah, they're like, yeah. Well, and sometimes it doesn't even give you, you're just like, oh God, I have 7 seconds.
Yeah.
I guess I'm watching the next one.
Right, like give me like 15 seconds to decide whether or not I want to watch these credits or let it autoplay or just go back out to the menu. Simmer down now.
Yeah, like maybe I need to go change my laundry or something.
Right.
Exactly.
Give me a minute. Give me a minute, Netflix.
All right, so Leslie, do you want to talk about Buffy?
I do. I do.
Okay.
Well, first I want to read this IMDb.
Okay.
This one gave it a 1 out of 10.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
1 out of 10 from Real Rocker Halloween.
I don't think so.
More like real spirit Halloween.
Yeah.
Spirit Halloween. Because you're a fucking joke. I say he, but I don't know this person's gender. Real Rocker Halloween says, Buffy returns to while the town is under attack, and I can't help but feel like she doesn't belong anymore.
Jesus.
I find it horrifying. She has to, this is huge spoilers, by the way. I find it horrifying. Buffy has to claw her way out of her grave, and instead of being taken home to take a shower or get caught up on what she missed, she has to slay demons. I feel like that's a fair argument.
I mean, that's not why it's a one star. That's why it's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, waking up in a coffin buried alive is definitely one of my worst fears.
Yeah.
But also, what were they planning to do? Because they didn't have any fucking shovels.
I have no idea. It's like they completely
if the spell succeeded, like
that
what...
part of it.
Also, I want to point out, they make it very specific that she's been dead for 5 months, and the level of decomposition on her body makes it look like she's been dead for like 300 years.
Yeah, but it's cool.
Like
it's gross
cool
and cool
because when when she like revitalizes, all the juice like gets like sucked back into her body or whatever. And
see, I wanted like a Frank from Hellraiser reconstitution type scene.
Oh, like a real practical effects. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm on record as saying that's one of my favorite practical effects of the entire 1980s. So I have high standards for people coming back from the dead.
I get it.
For sure.
But it still was cool. I still think it was cool because it is like genuinely scary.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Like once she realizes that she's alive and like the scene with her like literally clawing at like the fabric line of the coffin, that's so scary.
Yep. And then Quentin Tarantino stole it.
I was watching, I was like, it's fine, Buffy, just move your big toe.
Also, while Willow's doing the spell, besides the snake barf, the beetles from The Mummy also come to see her and crawl under her skin.
Because she's like communing with Osiris,
right?
The Egyptian god of the dead. So I get it. Okay.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
At least thematically makes sense.
Did y'all notice that when Buffybot is in downtown Sunnydale, the marquee at Sunnydale Cinema is showing Dude, Where's My Car?
No, I missed that entirely.
Yeah, and then we get Jazzman Freddy Krueger hand.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Classic.
Perfect.
I'm making inside jokes about your podcast.
I am like,
ridiculous human being.
Jazzman Freddy Krueger.
I like completely like go into a fugue state when we record, so I don't remember anything we say.
I do remember Jasmine. I was like, wow,
it's the name of that episode.
Is that a thing?
I wrote the title for it. So
but I mean, it's true. Derek Kindestad does look like Jasmine Freddy Krueger.
It's true.
Also, Jesus fucking Christ, I know the name of that demon by heart.
Right? Like,
you're like first and last name. his social security number is. Imagine demons having to get social security numbers. Oh my God. So
excellent.
So complicated. Border Patrol is having a real time.
Yeah. Like,
Although that would be, well, whatever. That would be an interesting episode of Buffy with
just the fucking
demon immigration. Yeah.
Do you think Clem has a social security number? He seems like a fairly upstanding member of society.
Yeah, he might.
Probably.
I wonder if Doc did.
Maybe.
Oh, he definitely did.
R.I.P.
Did y'all listen to the Audible like Buffy story Slayers that came out last year?
For some reason, I am saving it for a I don't know what I'm saving it for.
Okay, well, let me just tell you, it's great.
And, I've heard.
And Clem has a large part in it.
Amazing. I have heard this, and this is why I think I've decided that I'm, like, saving it for you know when you have, like, a dress that for some reason you will not wear because you're saving it for some perfect day that will never arrive? That is what I'm saving this for.
I did that with a dress, and then when I finally wanted to wear it, it didn't fit anymore.
No! That's the worst. But that is a really good... You're like, okay, universe, Jesus Christ, I will, like, wear the things that I buy. Yeah. All right, so Buffy comes back. It's very sad.
Yeah, she's completely in shock, like, shut down, is just... You know, a shell of her her former self.
Also wearing the least Buffy outfit ever.
What did they dress her in?
I know, she's in like a old like Italian grandmother like funereal.
Oh my god, she looks like Edwidge Fenech from a Giallo movie.
yeah, like it's just so not her. And then her hair, I guess 5 months is long enough for your hair to grow a foot and a half and not be blonde anymore.
I mean,
I'm not sure.
They probably thought that tale of like your hair and your fingernails keep growing when you're dead.
Well, then why doesn't she have crazy like Guinness record, world Guinness record? Look, ass nails.
Well, and just like that one chin hair that you always have to pluck.
I have two of those bad boys that I have to battle every time.
I need to find out if my insurance will cover electrolysis, because y'all, let me tell you, I'm fucking sick of shaving my face.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks.
Like, I can't even, I have a couple, like a few chin hairs that are problematic, and I'm thinking about coming back from the dead, clawing your way out of the grave, and everyone being like, what is going on your chin? It sucks.
Like, why?
Kate, get your shit together. Yeah. But yeah, well, I like that it kind of like, for a while, you're in this spot where you're like, what kind of, like, what's going on in Buffy's mind? Like, is she going to come back? Is she like Angel when he comes back from hell, where he's kind of like animal for a while? You know, like, does she remember anything?
Well,
I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it doesn't happen until almost the end of the episode, but when she asks Dawn, is this hell?
Yeah.
It breaks my fucking heart.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know.
It looks like it at that point.
Right. And, like, you know, well, spoilers, we'll find out later that she was not in hell. She was, in fact, in heaven. So it is very understandable that coming back to this world, seeing Sunnydale destroyed and being really disoriented. Yeah. I don't blame her for thinking she's in hell.
Yeah. And watching the Buffy bot get. Absolutely.
Oh my god.
Oh god. Like, literally,
Buffy Bot's death is so upsetting, because, like,
it is so upsetting.
I have a lot of affection for her. Like, yeah, okay, she's a robot, she's still a character. And, like, as much as an artificially intelligent being can have care for the people around her, she does really care about her found family, essentially.
Yeah, and has been a solace to, like, I think everybody around her.
Yeah,
you know, not that, like, gone. Yeah, like, not to make her too much of an object, even though she is a robot, but, like, you know, Dawn, that scene where, like, Dawn crawls into bed with the Buffy bot is really sweet and sad, and, like, she needs to hold on to something that looks like Buffy, and then to just watch the Buffy bot get, like, ripped apart by these horrible demons, and, like, as she gets ripped apart, she sees the real Buffy and mouths Buffy. And it's like just horrific. Like this episode has a lot of actually like scary, extremely upsetting imagery.
Yeah, 100%.
Including these fucking hellions who I just like, I do not like them.
No.
Yeah, my note that I mentioned earlier, I just wrote, cool, rape demons.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus fucking Christ. You know, and like, I really want there to be a moratorium on grown men or demons saying the phrase little girl.
It's real gross.
It's fucking gross.
Not great. Like that demon hunter guy from a couple seasons back who was just like,
oh, ew, really I hated him. Tantalizing
Buffy. That guy sucked on ice.
Oh, the werewolf hunter?
Yeah.
That thinks Giles and Buffy are boning?
Yes.
What's his name? Kane. His name's Kane.
Yes.
Anya's reaction to the rabbit out of a hat joke. Oh my god. Oh my god. Don't do that. Why would she do that?
It's so funny. It is a really, that's like one of my favorite reoccurring jokes in Buffy is Anya's fear of rabbits.
Of bunnies, yeah.
Well, and then when we find out why.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, girl has some deep-rooted trauma.
Yeah. I know. Anya's character is really interesting, especially.
Oh, Anya's my favorite character on the show. Hands down.
What? Okay, so why is Anya? Why do you love Anya so much?
Okay, so my friend Thea and I, who she also loves Buffy, and she is a therapist, we have a theory that Cordelia is high functioning autistic. And the reason that she just kind of speaks her mind all the time is that she doesn't always understand social cues, but she's also really good at masking sometimes. Anya is not good at masking. Anya is very blunt, very to the point, very honest all of the time, and only picks up on social cues when they're pointed out to her. And I don't know. It's very refreshing. I have people in my life who are like that. And I have never been diagnosed with autism. However, I do always speak my mind. I am very authentic at all times. So I relate to her in that respect.
Yeah.
I also think her arc is incredible. I mean, she goes from being an amateur witch in, what is it, Sweden or something?
I can't remember, but that sounds right.
With her boyfriend, who she turns into a troll who comes back later. And I love that episode. And then she becomes a vengeance demon and spends years and years doing that and living kind of amongst humanity, but losing aspects of her humanity. And then she gets stuck essentially as a teenage girl and has to relearn how to be human. And as we said, Xander is not the appropriate teacher for that. But I love that we just get to see this person who only wants to be herself and wants to enjoy the mortal life that she has had foisted upon her, essentially.
Yeah.
And I just, I don't know. I think she's a beautiful character. I think when she's written by the right writers, like Marty, she's delightful. She's wonderful. And there's so much there that is appealing to me. And I still am pissed off about how her character ends. I really think that was bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's like one of the most tragic figures.
Oh yeah, I mean, Selfless is one of my favorite episodes of the show.
Yeah My only beef with Anya is her intense capitalism.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, I mean, I am also an anarchist, or I guess technically I'm an anarcho-communist, but someone once told me those two philosophies are incompatible.
Yeah, it's
like, one of them's a social philosophy and one of them's a financial philosophy, kind of. I don't know. Anyway, I totally am with you on that. I don't love how much Anya loves money, but if you are going to be stuck in a capitalist hellscape, you know, you may as well embrace it.
Yeah. I do love how much she loves her store.
Yes.
She really cares about the magic box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean looting?
Yeah. Oh my God, looting?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, wait. Oh, right. We should also care about the people who got lost. Also, speaking of which, why did they all split up? I don't understand.
It makes absolutely no sense. I remember listening to the Slayer Fest episode on this, and they were talking about the same thing. Like, they split up, and then they come back together, and then they split up again. It's so stupid.
Right. And, like, especially because part one begins with all of them together. I mean, except for Buffy, obviously. But yeah. All of them are together, and, like, the point that they learn pretty much every season, they have to relearn. That, like, they can only defeat the, like, big bads altogether.
Yeah. You know, I think from, like, a meta, like, technical perspective, this really, the story was, I feel like, one that maybe could have spanned 1.5 episodes, even with the biker gang from hell. So I feel like they did a little bit of the old padding to stretch out, you know, beats and moments and to make it fit that, you know, 88 minutes of time. You know, I mean, that's a feature length film length, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I do wish that, I don't know if it would have worked to have Buffy bot around longer once Buffy came back, but there's a part of me that wishes that we got more of the gang with Buffy bot trying to navigate the world without regular Buffy. Before we started recording, I was thinking about, like, what would it have been like if regular Buffy never came back and Buffy bot was just the Slayer now, with her gang of Scoobies. And, like, I mean, that obviously would have been a very different show.
Yeah.
But it would have been interesting. And I think, barring that, just a couple more episodes or even one more episode with the Buffy bot around trying to help out would have been very fun to see, I think.
Or even a little more time with Buffy bot while Buffy is alive, you know? And
yeah,
Buffy
like bot dealing with each other.
Yeah, dealing with each other, and maybe Buffy bot feeling like, you know, inadequate, or Buffy feeling inadequate in some way because
oh my god,
new,
yes,
you know, we would have like a kind of a Buffy Faith relationship again, where they're kind of like each has something that the other one is lacking, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get at me, writers. Dolly Parton's bringing the show back.
Hey, that's right. Dolly Parton, if you're listening right now, Leslie could be in your writer's room.
I love that Dolly Parton was like the angel producer for Buffy. What, no pun intended.
Yeah. Just,
just like Lucille Ball was for Star Trek the original series.
Insane.
Oh yeah, that's amazing. Right. I always forget about that.
I love that. But yeah, I think those are all like really interesting things to explore that they didn't get a chance to do. You know, it's like the Hellion gang, like, whatever, they're not that interesting, but I would have been okay with them, I guess,
relevant.
If they were part of like a longer arc or something like that, but because like they were also exploring a bunch of other things about like life with the Buffy bot minus Buffy, life with the Buffy bot plus Buffy, and like because this whole season is really about, you know, Buffy's death and how, you know, Buffy has a hard time like sort of like living, like the hardest thing in life is to live in it, like that is what, you know, Buffy has to like relearn how to do and doesn't do very well because obviously she was in an amazing place and she was ready to be done. And like, now she has to start all over again. And like, that's an interesting thing to look at with a robot who like doesn't really have a beginning or an end, you know? It's right. Just like every day is just like being a Buffy bot, you know?
So it's almost like Buffy bot is on a sitcom and everyone else is on a dramatic television show.
Sort of, because
like a cartoon, you know, she could potentially just wear the same outfit every day
and
just, you know, everything resets for her.
Yeah, you wake up in the morning and you're like, I have to make 45 sandwiches and like that's how my day starts, and then my day ends with like someone just like putting me into stasis. You know, like you don't even go to sleep. You just get like recharged at the end of the night, you know? And it's like, yeah, like what does that mean for someone, like for someone to see, you know, someone who just like came back from the dead? What does it mean to like look at your like identical twin, but in robot form? You know, like, I don't know. It's just interesting to explore that.
Yeah. Who's basically been your replacement for 5 months.
Yeah. And like a coping tool for your like younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
And like a point of resentment for your potential boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those relationships could have been explored a little bit more.
Yeah. Can we also talk about the fact that the tower is still up?
Why is the tower still up?
Yeah, I wrote, how has Sunnydale not torn down this towering monstrosity? Right.
5 months. Were they like, maybe they were like close enough to the art museum where they're like, oh, maybe this is just some like new installation. Or, you know, I'd love to find out who the artist was. It's, you know, it's got a very like, you know, postmodern avant-garde, ironic, you know.
Yes, of course. Sunnydale not only has a museum of natural history, but also an art museum.
An art museum with a large, like, installation garden.
A contemporary art museum that, like, can, you know, that Marina Abramović comes up and, like, does some sort of performance at the top.
Well, I mean, you know, Doc did cut Dawn and make her bleed to open the portal. I feel like That's Marina true. Would be very into that.
She would be into it.
Totally.
I just think, like, and also with an international airport, that thing might be too tall. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. That's going to take a wing off for
sure. Right? Yeah, like you shouldn't have something up that high in a town with it that also bizarrely has an international airport.
Yeah, airport, marina, you know, it's got everything.
It's really, you really don't ever have to leave Sunnydale if you don't want to.
Mm-mm.
Oh, also, they only use this like outdoor. It's not a soundstage, but it's like a common shooting location. You know, they use it on Desperate Housewives, but. There's a part where Buffy is walking through the like suburban area and you can see the church from Hush in the background.
Ooh.
Interesting.
I love it.
Oh, that's neat.
And I think that's one of, if not the only other time they use that area on Buffy.
Oh, interesting.
Weird. I love that. Any final thoughts? Any other tidbits we wanted to touch on?
Oh, I love when Tara axes Razor.
Yeah.
Because of course the lead demon biker's name is Razor. I love when she axes him and says, "Nobody messes with my girl."
Yeah, it's very badass.
Oh my God, that makes me melt every time. So, like, my dynamic in relationships tends to be, I'm a princess and you're my queen. And like the idea of someone slaying a demon for me and saying nobody messes with my girl is just like, that's all I want. That's everything I want.
My basement's flooded now.
It's so good too, because like, you know, Razor, like this, you know, gang is particularly misogynistic and gross.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he gets like beat over the head by a bunch of women. Mm-hmm. And then like Tara kills him off, you know, and it's like the first and only, I think it's the only slay she, I know it's her first.
Yeah. Xander even says, nice axing, Tara. And she goes, thanks, my first.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, they don't really use, like, I don't know. Sometimes like this episode, I feel like it's a little little convoluted with Tara because it's like, does she not have any witchcraft power anymore or whatever?
No, she does. We see her use it earlier in the episode when one of the bikers tries to take Anya.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
when Willow and Xander are lost, she's
she does her little tinkerbell. Like Navi
from fucking Legend of Zelda.
Yes.
Hey, listen.
yes, that is her first and only demon kill of the show.
Damn.
So, yeah. I mean, if you're gonna go, you know, go.
That's
big.
A good. It's a good one.
Yeah. I don't want to get too deep into this, but like all of the stuff around Buffy essentially returning to the site of her death by suicide, and when she says, "I remember how shiny and clear everything was." She's not just talking about the portal. She's not just talking about like what she saw. She's talking about the resolve that she had to end her life. Mm-hmm. And like, I've struggled with SI for almost my entire life. And last summer when I was like going through my 13th watch of this with my mom and recovering from multiple surgeries and like going through a really rough breakup with someone who's now my best friend, thankfully. But I was in a really fucking bad place. And just her saying that, like how shiny and clear everything was, it's like your brain just decides like, yes, this is what I need to do. This will solve all of my problems. And her coming back from the dead and returning to that place and feeling like, no, I need to do this again because it didn't work is it's terrifying. It's upsetting. It's heartbreaking. And it also makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that like music that was like written for the end of season 5 and also that they returned to.
Is
some heartstring pulling, tears are a flowing music. It gets me every single time. I remember like when the music comes in, you're like, oh boy, here we go. I'm gonna start crying again. It is a lot for, I mean, it's not, I don't mean it's like too much because I think a lot of like teen shows deal with like pretty deep, intense things. And like, especially shows like this, like that are like cloaked in some genre, like get away with doing it more because, you know, it's like slightly obscured, but like we all know what it's actually about, you know?
Right.
But it's a lot. This is a lot of emotion to start off a season that is about a lot of emotion.
Yeah, it's you know, it's definitely a tone to take when you are starting a new season and you are not just, you know, resolving shit with old fans who like essentially thought the show was over.
Yeah.
But also like trying to bring in new ones and like this is the tack you're gonna take. I mean, it's powerful. It definitely makes a statement, but I feel like it was a weird tone to like start off with. You know, I feel like the end of this season, it makes a lot more sense. You know, like we get into some really dark shit, because it's been building up. But like this just knocks you over the head with it straight away, and it's like, whoa, what am I watching? Like, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I can't imagine starting off Buffy with this episode.
No, I would never. Yeah, I can't imagine anybody watching this after not seeing any Buffy at all and being like, oh well, now this is for me.
I think I would, but you know
unless you have like some a very, very specific proclivities.
Thank you, Leslie.
Try to be diplomatic.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are we talking about kink now?
No.
We don't have enough time in the day.
No. Yeah. You have we can talk about that on the subject.
We should have a... Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I've been banished from my own podcast. Get on your other podcast to talk about the real weird shit. You know, I am thinking, though, if Leslie would allow it. I'm being silly. I know you would. But no, I know. I'm just being silly. It would be fun to do a, like, kink-themed episode of Fangs for because
please invite me on for that.
I will. Yeah, because I feel all like right. There's so much in there. For yeah, the teens who are exploring who are like, wait a minute, that hit something.
Ha ha ha, like, ha, oh. Ha hit yeah. Something.
Exactly.
Well, the last thing I want to say about the episode is cup of tea, almost had a shag, cup of tea.
Classic.
So funny. What an amazing, talk about like a, in an episode with a Buffy bot where like she basically does the same thing every day. Mm-hmm. Giles bot.
Yeah.
That I would love
there
that.
There you go. I know. Leslie's like,
Can I get one of those?
Can I have a Giles bot, please? Giles bot.
It's okay. Leslie, I am with you and your
thank
giant
you.
Boner for Anthony Stewart
I
head.
That.
It's, yeah.
Love it. Well, Mae, thank you so much for being on the show. We had such a good time. It was such a fun discussion. Yeah, so tell us more about Lady Killers and, you know, anything else you want to plug. This is the moment to do it, for sure.
Well, thank you for having me. Like I said, I've been, like, marathoning y'all's earlier episodes.
Yay!
And I don't know, there's just something so wonderful about being able to come onto a podcast that you listen to and talk to the people whose voices you hear all the time and be able to be like, oh, I really like these people, we get along and we like the same stuff. It's great.
That's so funny because like I you know, like I said, I do kind of go into a fugue state when we record and I don't really like, pay attention that much to, you know, to the content, but also at the same time it's like I feel like, you know, you don't really think about like, oh, people do actually listen, and like to know that like people are actually like following along and like getting the jokes that we make, even like even though if I can't remember any of them, like that's just really really cool. And it's just like, man, that's just radical, just not something that I ever thought would happen.
Oh yeah, I've been in the podcasting world for over 10 years at this point, and
holy shit.
I went a really long time not actually listening to podcasts but just editing them, because I would have a hard time just like listening to people talk without music or something in the background.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, I in the last few years I've just been like very very into podcasts, and yeah, I love listening to y'all, and I especially love listening to y'all talk about something that I love so much. So being able to come on and talk about it with you was an absolute pleasure. I hope I can be on again sometime.
Yeah.
In the meantime, if you want to find me, I am on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd at Everson Poe. That's EverSonPoe. You can find my music on Bandcamp and streaming services by searching for Everson Poe as two words. I am currently working on my next album, which is inspired by Hellraiser 2022.
That's
very
radical.
Excited for that.
I love that.
I'm going to do six songs, each one corresponding to one of the six configurations of the box.
Amazing.
And Kate, I think I told you, Leslie, I don't know if I've told you, but I have a tramp stamp of the lament configuration. It started as a joke, and then it became not a joke, and then I actually got it tattooed.
Those are the best tattoos, where it's like, oh yeah, no, I'm actually fucking doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me co-hosting and editing The Lady Killers, which is a feminine rage podcast. You can find us on any podcatcher. Do they still call them that? Podcatchers?
Something like that.
Whatever platform you use, we should be on there. And we talk about movies with lady killers. And we do it from a unique perspective. We're not reviewing the movie. We're not just summarizing the movie and offering little thoughts. We're like really doing deep dives and talking about the, what did Jen say? The thematic meat of the movies. Mm. Yeah, we made a joke.
I love thematic meat.
Brand a meat tenderizer and, you know, say thematic meat or cinematic meat on one side, and the other side will say The Lady Killers.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can find me on SlayerFest 98 occasionally and maybe some other places. I don't know. I'm trying to get my hands on as many podcast pies as possible.
That's awesome.
Cool. I love that. Nice. So you can check out our stuff, our social links, check out our Patreon where we will upload a new episode of Fangs Flicks hopefully soon. And also, you know, get the show on your podcatching app of choice. you can check it all out at fangs.zone. And we will catch you next time on Fangs for the Memories. See ya, suckers.